I greet you this morning in the name of my wonderful saving, sanctifying, healing, and soon coming Christ. Last week we began a series on the core values of the church. We began with the first core value of prayer, and this week we continue with the second core value. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 47. Once you found it, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read God's word together. Starting in verse 47. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. The title of the message is The Heart of Evangelism. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence that we have felt in this service already, Lord. We love you. We love your presence. We thank you for allowing us to sense it today. And Lord, as we dive into your word over the next few moments, God, I just ask that you would help us to hear the word of the Lord. Lord, I ask that you would help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Everything that we do in the church is important, but evangelism is my heartbeat. This is the most important thing to me. This is just the way that God has made me to be. I love seeing people come to an altar of prayer and to seek the Lord. I love to hear reports of people giving their hearts to Christ. I was so excited the other week, my first Sunday, you know, you'd think I would be excited about that, and I was. But when I got word later in the day that somebody had come to Christ that day, that just dwarfed the whole fact that that was my first Sunday, and I didn't even care about that anymore. Somebody had come to Christ, and that was the most important thing. The greatest thing that we can do is to lead someone to Christ. Winning people to Jesus Christ is what the church is all about. And I don't mean just Jordantown Wesleyan, but I mean every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what we should all be about. Everything we do should be focused on bringing people to the life-saving touch of Jesus Christ. But too many times it seems that the church is kind of out to lunch. It seems that the church is unaware, uninterested, busy with other things, more interested in other things. They seem to lack the urgency with the church as a whole and even people within the church of sharing the good news of the gospel. Tom Rainier, who is a Baptist pastor and current president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources. We've probably all been to Lifeway. We have one over there by the mall. He's the president and CEO. He recently wrote an article entitled Obstacles to Evangelism in the Local Church. And it's funny, as I read this article this week and these different reasons, how many are things that we have already talked about. The main reasons Christians don't evangelize are, first of all, number one, Christians have no sense of urgency to reach lost people. Number two, many Christians and church members do not befriend and spend time with lost persons. Listen, even Jesus ate with tax collectors. He was with the Pharisees. He was among those that were considered unclean. Those were those that were spiritually lost. Number three, many Christians and church members are lazy and apathetic. Four, we are more known for what we are against than what we are for. Number five, our churches have an ineffective evangelistic strategy of you come rather than we go. And as I've said before, this is not 30 or 40 years ago where people come to church. They're not going to come to church. You might ask them, and we'll do some of that, and they may come because of the relationship that you have, but we are no longer in an age where people come to church because it's Sunday. It's our responsibility to take church to them. Number six, many church members think that evangelism is the role of the pastor and paid staff. Seven, church membership today is more about getting my needs met rather than reaching the lost. Eight, church members are in a retreat mode as culture becomes more worldly and unbiblical. Nine, many church members don't really believe that Christ is the only way to salvation. How scary is that? Number 10, Our churches are no longer houses of prayer equipped to reach the lost. 11, churches have lost their focus on making disciples who will thus be equipped and motivated to reach the lost. Number 12, Christians do not want to share the truth of the gospel for fear they will offend others. Political correctness is too commonplace even among Christians. 13, most churches have unregenerate members who have not received Christ themselves. And the last reason and obstacles of evangelism in the local church is our churches have too many activities. They are too busy to do the things that really matter. That's sad and frustrating, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's rather alarming, at least to me. I hope these things won't be said of me or won't be said of Jordantown. I want us to have a heart for the lost. I want us to be a church that has a heart of evangelism. And this morning, as we look at what it means to have the heart of evangelism, there are four things that I want to share with you. First of all, number one, the heart of evangelism recognizes that all people matter to God. Look at verse 47. I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. I basically said this my first Sunday. I said that lost people matter to God. And while lost people matter to God, all people matter to God, whether they're lost or have accepted Him as their Savior. All people matter to God. At times we may have the tendency to look down at people or to wonder at people. How could God forgive them? You look at some of the people that we've heard about, these radical Islamic terrorists. You think of people back in World War II, like Adolf Hitler and other terrible world leaders like Mussolini and other people like that that we've heard stories about. Some of you lived through those times. You know the stories. You heard them firsthand from those news reports. And we wonder, how in the world could God love someone like that? I can see how He would love someone like me or someone like you in the church and who's trying to love Him, but how could God love someone like that? How could God forgive them? How could He care? But listen, we know that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. And I read probably the most famous verse in the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 16, that says, "For God so loved the world." It doesn't just say that for God so loved the American, or for God so loved the people from North America, or for God so loved the people in the Western Hemisphere, or God so loved the people of the 21st century, or whatever. But for God so loved the world, everybody, every race, nationality, origin, color, every educational level, every tax bracket, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in Romans chapter 10, it says this, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile." The Jews are God's chosen people. The Gentiles are everybody who is not a Jew. You and I are Gentiles. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter how low someone has sunk in sin or how many mistakes they've made or what a mess that their life has become. They matter to God. You matter to God. Your family matters to God. Your neighbors and your coworkers matter to God. Every person that walks on the face of planet Earth matters to God because they are made in His image. Think about your life before Christ. Think about the person that you were. Some of you, before Christ, you were low in sin. You were deep in sin. And God raised you out of that. And God saved you from that. Recall the depth of your sin and then give thanks and praise to God for His love that drew you, His grace that saved you, and His Holy Spirit that has sustained you. We have a responsibility to show the love of Christ to everyone we encounter because all people matter to God. The heart of evangelism sees that all people, it recognizes that all people matter to God. Secondly, the heart of evangelism sees people as souls. Sometimes it's easy for us to say that God loves everyone and that all people matter to God. But it's entirely different to see them as souls. We can recognize that everybody matters to God and not see them as souls. I remember I was struggling with some people one time, and And my mom said, I'm just praying that you see them as souls. The heart of evangelism sees every single person as a soul. Every man, woman, boy, and girl who has ever walked on the face of the earth will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Let me tell you that heaven and hell are real places. They are not imaginary places or worlds that have been made up to increase this interest in the story of the gospel. They are real. I've heard stories of near-death experiences of people who just, they get a glimpse of the afterlife. They get a taste of what it will be like. I have heard stories of the great splendor, beauty, and joy of heaven and the darkness, sorrow, and torment of hell. There's a book that came out a few years ago and a movie that followed from a Wesleyan pastor's son called Heaven is for Real. Some of you have probably read the book. Others of you have maybe seen the movie. But I've not read the whole book, and I did see the whole movie one time several months ago. But what struck me was the description of this little boy's account of heaven. He talks about the beauty of heaven. He talks about how the colors are unlike anything he has ever seen. This little boy, I think, was 3 or 4 years old when this happened. He talks about how he met his grandfather, but how his grandfather wasn't old as he would have remembered him in pictures, but how he was a young man. He tells the story about how he meets a little girl that was his older sister that died before she was born. His parents had never told him of his sister that died, but he met his sister. And he told the story about how God's throne room is really big and how God is really big. And he spoke of the markers in Jesus' hands. Ladies and gentlemen, these aren't markers like you may think, but they are the nail prints of the crucified Christ. And I've heard stories on the other end of people that are laying in a hospital bed in the emergency room as they hang between life and death. And they begin to shout and they begin to scream and they say, pull my feet away, it's hot, it's burning me. I've read other accounts of people that have gone to hell and back again and they speak of the tremendous heat that is suffocating. They speak of the darkness. They speak of the separation. They speak of the physical pain. They speak of the isolation. Listen to me. The heart of evangelism sees people as souls. All of our family, friends, and loved ones will one day stand before a holy God as he opens the book and judges all of mankind, when he separates the sheep from the goats, when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into thy reward, or when he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You and I too will stand before a holy God. And we will be judged according to what we did with Christ, and he will also judge us by according to what we did with this knowledge of the gospel of Christ. We need to see people as never dying souls. This should increase our desire to share Christ, because we know even if they don't, even if they refuse to believe it or acknowledge it, we know even if they don't what lies ahead. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to lose. The heart of evangelism recognizes that all people matter to God. The heart of evangelism sees people as souls. And the heart of evangelism embraces the responsibility. All people matter to God, and we need to see them as souls. But we also have a responsibility to embrace evangelism. God called Paul and Barnabas. He gave them a mission to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Listen, the Bible doesn't tell us Paul and Barnabas didn't accept the mission. We know that they did. But Paul and Barnabas had the opportunity to, rather than embrace the mission, to reject the mission. They had the opportunity to, rather than embrace the responsibility and take the good news to the Gentiles, they could have said, God, we're Jews, and we want to stay, and we want to just tell the Jews. They already hate us half the time. And so why should we go to these other people that we know are probably going to hate us and tell them? Why can't we just stay here? They could have done that, but they didn't. They embraced the responsibility to share Christ. They embraced the responsibility of evangelism. And this is what happened. Look, verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, meaning the gospel, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. Listen, they embraced the responsibility, and in turn, the Gentiles responded to the gospel. They were glad. They were glad, and they honored the word of the Lord. We're living in a godless age where people are looking for fulfillment and peace, joy and salvation in all the wrong places. They so badly want to be a part of something that they join all kinds of groups, religions, and cults to fill the void. They want to matter and they want their lives to matter. Last week, I was walking through the living room and on TV was, I think it was called America's Book of Secrets. And it was, in this particular episode, they were talking about all the different cults. And they talked about Jim Jones and how he slaughtered hundreds, I think 900 people, many children. Down in South America, he had them all drink cyanide. They did it. They told the story about David Koresh. I vaguely remember that. And how he blew up that whole building and hundreds of people perished inside. Listen, people, they want something. They want it so badly that they even join these cults and even die for what their cult leader says because they want to matter. They want something to change their life. They want to be a part of something. People are hungry for the truth. They are hungry for something that will make a difference, something that will give them a reason to live. They are hungry for something that will truly change their life. Yes, listen, it can be very nerve-wracking if you've never shared the gospel before. Your knees will knock and you might get shut down, but yet we have to embrace the responsibility. God has called us to embrace that responsibility and to take the good news to people. It's their choice whether they accept it or reject it. It's His responsibility and duty to save them. We are just the messenger, but we have a responsibility to take that message to the world. Paul and Barnabas, they embraced it. They embraced it, and the Gentiles were glad and honored the word of the Lord. Lastly, the heart of evangelism acts with urgency. We embrace the responsibility, and then the heart of evangelism acts with urgency. Look at verse 49. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Paul and Barnabas, they embraced the responsibility and they took the good news to the Gentiles. And what followed after that was a spreading of the gospel, not just to those Gentiles that they talked to, but through the whole entire region. Listen, we have to be people that act with urgency because no man knows the time or the place that we may breathe our last. No man or woman knows the time or place that the eastern sky will split and Gabriel will sound the trumpet, signifying that time will be no more. And let me tell you something. One split second into eternity, it's too late. It's too late to go back and say, I should have responded that day at Jordantown, or I should have responded when I was at youth camp, or when I was at home and the Lord was speaking to me and I had a chance to respond and I put it off tomorrow. It's too late then. It's too late. The heart of evangelism acts with urgency. Fritz Kreisler was a world-famous violinist. He had earned a fortune with concerts and compositions, but he had generously given much of his fortune away. Later, he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, but he wasn't able to pay for it because he had given so much of his money away. Later, he had saved up enough money and he went back to purchase the violin and he was informed that somebody had bought it. And so he was very dismayed. He was very sad about it. So Fritz Kreisler, he went to the home of the new owner and he offered to buy the violin. But the collector had told him, it's become my prized possession and it's not for sale. So Fritz Kreisler was once again, he was dismayed and he was shot down a second time. He wanted this violin so badly. And as he was getting ready to leave, he had an idea and he turned to the owner and he said, can I play it one more time before it's consigned to silence? And the owner said, yeah, sure, you can play it. And so Fritz Kreisler began to play this violin and this great virtuoso filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. And afterwards he said, I have no right to keep that to myself. Take it into the world and let people hear it. Our attitude and mindset about the gospel should be like that of the violin owner. I have no right to keep that. Take it into the whole world and let people hear it. Listen, we have the good news of the gospel. We have the message of hope and salvation that so many people are dying for. Only Christ can save, change, and transform lives. We can't keep it to ourselves. We have a responsibility to act with urgency and to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world. The heart of evangelism acts with urgency. In September of 1985, the New Orleans Municipal Pool threw a party around the pool to celebrate the first summer in memory without a drowning. In honor of the occasion, 200 people gathered, including 100 certified lifeguards. As the party was breaking up, the four lifeguards who were on duty were kind of clearing people out and bringing the party to a close. And as they were doing this, they found a fully dressed body in the deep end. They tried to revive Jerome Moody, who was 31, but it was too late. He had drowned, surrounded by lifeguards celebrating their successful season. I wonder how many people die surrounded by Christians that are too busy living the party life of the Christian life to notice the drowning man. Wonder how many people in your life and in mine that we had a chance to throw a life raft to, so to speak, with the gospel. For whatever reason, fear, insecurity, lack of urgency, lack of care, whatever it is, we didn't do it. I wonder how many of those people died a spiritual death because we failed to act with urgency. Guys, I believe that if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, we've got to get out of party mode and into life-saving mode. If those lifeguards were more focused on their job than enjoying the party, there's a very good chance that they would have saved that young man's life. And while the Christian life is great and we have reason to celebrate, we can't be in such party mode, in such a party mindset that we lack our responsibility to tell others about Christ. Guys, I want it said of Jordantown that is a church that has the heart of evangelism. I want us to know that all people matter to God. I want us to see them as souls. I want us to embrace the responsibility to take the message to the world. And I want us to act with urgency. Because the time is short. It's our turn up to bat right now, guys. And I don't want to strike out. Will you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. John Wesley, he said this: "You have nothing to do but to save souls. Therefore, spend and be spent in this work, and go not only to those that need you, but to those that need you most. It is not your business to preach so many times and to take care of this or that society, but to save as many souls as you can, to bring as many sinners as you possibly can to repentance. That is the heart of evangelism." As we bring this service to a close here in just a few moments, I want us to end this time together praying for those that are lost. I want us to end this time together praying for us as a church that we will develop the heart of evangelism. And I want you to identify people in your lives that are spiritually lost. And I want us to gather around this altar, and I want us to storm heaven for these people. We don't know when God will call us. We don't know when He's coming back. And we need to be people that are urgent. We need to be urgently seeking God. We need to be urgently talking to others about Him. Every conversation that you have needs to count. Every conversation that I have needs to count. Every service that we put on here, every activity we have, it all needs to count. And it all needs to be directed at bringing people to Christ. before we end this time of praying for those that are lost, again, nobody's looking around. Everybody's heads bowed, eyes are closed. Would there be anybody here that would say, Pastor Matt, I don't know Jesus in a personal way. I may come into church, but I have never given my life to him. Would you just lift up your hand where I can see it? As I pray for us and as I pray for those that are lost, if you have someone in your life, I want to invite you to come. I'm going to ask you to come, not just invite you. I want to ask you to come and to kneel at this place of prayer. And I want us together, I want us to pound on the door of heaven on behalf of our loved ones. Listen, all of us have loved ones in our lives that don't know Christ. And this is not a time to pretend like, well, I think they're okay. This is not a time to live with our head in the sand. There are people in my family that do not know Christ. There are people in your family, in your circles that don't know Christ. And let's be honest, if they die today, they're going to split hell wide open. And guys, I don't want to live not knowing where my loved ones stand with Christ. I don't want to just shirk around the truth because I don't want to come to grips with it. This is a time to be real about our loved ones. Not, I hope they're okay or I think they're okay, but they're lost. They have never known Christ or they have backslidden, and I need to pray for them. And so if you have people like that in your life, please come now. One has already come. Let's come and let's end this service with a time of prayer for those that need to respond to the gospel. Remember, all people matter to God. It doesn't matter how low they have sunk. It doesn't matter what they're involved in. It doesn't matter what they have done or what they're currently doing. They matter to God. And they should matter to us too. Lord, I thank you that I matter to you. Lord, I don't know why. But I do. Lord, I thank you that these people that are before me matter to you. God, I thank you that our loved ones that are far from you, that they matter to you. Lord, your heart wants all of them to accept you as Savior. Your heart wants all of them to spend eternity in heaven. It is not your desire for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so, God, we come to you right now as a church family. God, we come asking that you would speak to the hearts of those that are far from you. Lord, there is nothing this world has to offer that can bring them peace or can bring them salvation. God, it is only through the cross and the blood of Christ that we're saved. But I ask that you would speak to our loved ones. Lord, that you would give us the courage to put you out front. That you would give us the courage to speak the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would help us to embrace that responsibility, God, and then to act with great urgency. Help us not to be scared or timid, God, but I ask that you would give us great boldness. Lord, because what we have is truth. What we have is the only thing that can make a difference. So, God, I ask that you would help us as people to be people that have a heart of evangelism. God, I ask that you would help our church to be a church that has the heart of evangelism. But I ask that everything that we do would be for the purpose of bringing people to the life-changing touch of Jesus Christ and then to make lifelong disciples. God, we're in the batter's box right now. It's our time. And God, I don't want us to fail. I don't want us to fail you. I don't want us to fail the people around us and our families, God, and our community. Lord, they are depending on us. They don't know it, but they are depending on us. So God, I just ask that you would help Jordantown to be a church that values the lost. we commit our loved ones to you. God, I ask that you would keep them safe until they come back to you. Lord, I ask that you would keep sleep from their eyes. Lord, I ask that you would do whatever you have to do in their lives to get a hold of them. Lord, remove the blinders. Lord, remove the gods of this world. Lord, people that have accepted a sinful lifestyle and God claimed it as truth, God, I ask that you would break that mindset and break those chains. Lord, I ask that you would be with these people that are kneeling, God. Their hearts are heavy for someone. Lord, I ask that you would give them, Lord, the desire to lift up these loved ones in prayer regularly. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God. We thank you for saving us. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you would die. And Lord, we just commit this to you, Lord. Lord, we want to be a church that evangelizes the lost, God. But Lord, we need your presence and your spirit to come and convict of sin and to transform lives. So Lord, we're going to do our best to do our part. And we're trusting you to do yours. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. God, we commit this time to you. And we ask all of this in the strong and powerful, the life-transforming name of Jesus and through his blood. And all the church said, amen. You're dismissed. Let's roll.